You're listening to The Local Maximum, episode 151.
Time to expand your perspective. Welcome to The Local Maximum. Now, here's your host, Max Sklar.
Well, you've reached another Local Maximum. Welcome to the show. Aaron, how you doing today? How you doing this year?
Yeah, let's not open with that one. Today is good, though.
Yeah, today is good.
Through the Christmas holiday, taking some much-needed downtime.
We're going to do a walkthrough of this year, the year 2020, in the Local Maximum. And as I look through, I realize we talked about a lot of stuff this year.
Yeah, it's been a long year.
It's been a long year.
Longer
we've
than every
the
other
same
year.
Number of episodes we've done every year.
Time is definitely dilated.
Yeah. So first, some general thoughts about this year in terms of Local Maximum. I feel like maybe, you know, I feel like I wish we had expanded harder this year. But as I look back, it's like just surviving and just being able to keep up that one episode a week pace that we have come to, I guess, guarantee on the Local Maximum is kind of, I've got to call that a victory this year. Because just getting through this year and being able to keep up with high quality content has been a struggle. And the fact that we've met it is just, we should look back and be proud of ourselves if we do say so ourselves.
I think it's fair to take a mini victory lap on that one. That, you know, we maybe didn't see the growth in listener numbers that we were initially projecting 12 months ago, but
yeah,
the number of other people listening to a podcast does not necessarily equate to the quality for the individual listeners. So
no.
I think we've managed to continue delivering some quality episodes in spite of everything else going on.
Right, right.
There, sometimes there, because of everything else going on.
Right. Yeah, exactly. As we'll get to in a second. There's a few things that I could have done on that, which we'll talk about what we'll do next year. But really, this year was just about trying to maintain some semblance of normalcy as everything was going on around us. And so that was that was where I focused most of the time. But I think we did a lot of setting up this year. So I think what we're going to do, this is kind of a, you know, sort of a meta episode where we're just going to go through and talk about some of our favorite episodes from 2020. And maybe you guys listening, if any of these sound interesting to you and you want to go back, you could always go to the archive, localmaxradio.com/archive. And you could see all the past episodes of The Local Maximum, also on your podcatcher. But that archive page actually kind of lays it all out, so you could search it very easily. And so that is available to you. Also, I'll try to link to all the episodes that we talk about on the show notes page here, localmaxradio.com/151. But there's going to be so much. So it's not like I have three references like I usually do. This is going to have a lot. So let's talk about a few of the themes and episodes that, because there are certain topics that we've come back to over and over again. The first one that I want to mention is probably the biggest guest I've ever had on the Local Maximum was Dave Rubin way back. That was this year, which seems crazy. That was way back in episode 103. And he has, I want to say like one of the biggest podcasts, maybe not, I don't know if it's one of the biggest. It probably is. It probably is. It's a pretty big deal, his podcast. And it's does a political podcast. And he's starting Locals, which is sort of the thing we've been on, which is, not to bury the lead here. So I interviewed him in 103 about starting Locals, which was kind of an alternative social network, and then jump ahead at the end of the year to episode 147, and we've announced that we've gone on Locals. Not only that, but we've secured the URL, maximum.locals.com, which I can't get over. So I think that's kind of a good way to bookend this year of 2020. What do you think?
Yeah. We went from that
full
initial
circle
interview to being in the ecosystem and building the Local there in less than a year, certainly hoping to see some expansion on that as we go forward.
Yeah, we have been expanding our online, our content online. You know, first of all, we've added transcripts to the episode show notes pages. So that's been a pretty big deal.
Was that something we'd started doing before this year, or was that a 2020 innovation as well? Oh, wow.
That was a 2020 innovation. Also adding all these questions to the website. Now, I kind of have special pages on localmaxradio.com/questions where I basically answer some questions. A lot of them are technical questions, but they don't have to be. And now the number one way people get to the website through Google is by searching probability simplex. Why? I don't know. I think we're the only ones who competently describe what a probability simplex is. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I know some of this is stuff that we've talked about on the show, but some of it, like the probability simplex, isn't something we've dedicated an episode to. But if you have a question out there that you're dying to hear Max address in detail, then maybe it too could be a special page on localmaxradio.com.
Well, now that everyone's searching for probability simplex, maybe we should do an episode on it because apparently people are searching for it. Okay, another theme that was this segues well into. I could tell this is going to be a great show. You know why? Because we're recording this at midnight, and these always turn out to be the best episodes. So you guys better keep listening. Nobody knows what we're going to say. So one of the themes early on in this year was examining probability. Like, what is probability? What does it mean? It's not a straightforward question. What are the different interpretations of probability? There's the objective interpretation. There's subjective interpretation. What have people said about this in the past? There's Bayesian frequentist, and kind of going through all that. And I remember back then we had just a string of extremely fascinating guests. We had Sophie Carr, who was talking about Bayesian inference. We had Bob Murphy talking about Austrian economics. Adam Kapellner talking about experimental design theory, and then Brian Blaise once again coming back around to Bayesian inference. I did a solo episode on it, episode 108, and then I did a talk on it at the Pi MCon conference that was virtual this year in episode 145. So I think Adam Kapellner was the last episode before the world that was like where the world was normal. So that makes it kind of memorable. He was actually the last guest I had in the Foursquare office. Guests have since been banned. That I feel like I am much smarter on that topic for having done those episodes. And if anyone's interested in becoming like an expert on that topic, just listening to those six episodes that I mentioned, those four guests and those two solo shows, you could become an expert too.
As an aside, you mentioned having a guest in the office for that interview.
Yeah.
I know not all of your interviews previous to the pandemic had been in person, but have we learned anything new about conducting remote interviews over the course of 2020?
That's a good question.
Has it changed how you've structured the show at all?
I kind of prefer in-person interviews, but you can't always get what you prefer.
Yeah.
I've just been, and I remember last year in 2019 when I drove up to Great Barrington, Massachusetts to interview Jeff Tucker, and maybe I didn't have to do that, but I had the time to do it. It was just so much fun to do, and it was kind of cool to see that town. And
just occurred to me that was in Great Barrington. Is the organization which he is part of there, is that? Are they at all affiliated with the Great Barrington Declaration, how it
yes.
came about, or is that a complete coincidence? Okay.
No, so it's not a coincidence. It was, I don't think it's...
So they put those people together in a room to facilitate?
And it was that room that I was in interviewing him. So I guess that's cool.
Sometimes I'm slow on the pickup, but I get there eventually.
No. I mean, there was like a big giant castle there that the AIER has. I don't know how they have it, but I don't know if we talked about the Great Barrington Declaration on the show, have we?
I don't know that we have specifically.
Okay, so that is a document that a bunch of doctors signed, an epidemiologist saying that the lockdown strategy is. They're dissenting from the lockdown strategy, and that occurred in Great Barrington in that same giant castle. I mean, look, if you're going to sign a big document in Great Barrington, of course you're going to go to the big castle. Where else would you do it?
The
Great Barrington Diner,
the Hilton down the street declaration doesn't sound nearly as impressive.
Yeah. There are benefits doing it in person. I like to meet the person, whereas if you do them kind of through online, whether it's through Zoom, they appear. You don't really have a chance to talk to them as much. So it's not as good, but it does the trick, and you can get more guests that way. So
yeah, for sure.
It's all right. I prefer coming to the guests. I used to go to people's offices and things like that. And that was fun. I felt like I made more meaningful connections that way. But it is what it is. I don't know what else to say.
It might be a while before that becomes a viable path in the future.
Yeah. Except they might have me back at AIER because they're all against the lockdown. So I could go to their castle again. All right. It's not really a castle, but it's a giant. I don't know how else to describe it. Okay, so what other theme? Well, obviously, COVID was a theme this year, probably the biggest one. So the earliest reference that I could find to it, we had a discussion about it in episode 104, which was all the way back in February 3rd. So that is really interesting. And I went back to listen to our discussion about it, and it didn't age poorly, which I'm proud of. And in fact, our first episode where it was really hitting the fan, in episode 110, that was our first big... That was the week where everything was just going crazy with it. And we were like, oh my God, we have to do a show. I'm sure you remember that week very well. And we were
Absolutely.
Talking about the Diamond Princess cruise, and we're trying to take what happened on the cruise and extrapolate it to what's going to happen in the country. And I feel like we were more right doing that than most of the prognosticators anyway. So we did a pretty good job on that. And basically all of the 110s, we were talking about COVID. And then I think after 10 episodes, I decided let's try to have episodes that were not about COVID.
Yeah. Between COVID fatigue and, needing to establish some sense of normalcy outside of that.
Right. So I was like, okay, so the 110s will devote to COVID. And then in episode 120 was when all the riots were happening. So that's right from one into the other. The most memorable one of that, I think, was the solo show I did. It might have been 115, where I was going through how epidemiological models work and how they were projecting COVID cases and all that. And that one was a very difficult one to do. There was a lot of research that was involved in that one. But I'm pretty proud of how it came out.
Yeah, I can't imagine very many people out there read it beyond the abstracts for some of those papers if they read that far. So having someone who's done the homework come explain it is a valuable service there.
Yes, it's very good when we do the homework. We didn't do any homework today other than reading the archive. But
we're winging it, people.
That's good too sometimes. Okay, and we even had our prediction panel under quarantine. Do you remember which one our prediction panel was on? I'm trying to remember. I don't think it was in the 110s. It might have been after that. No, it might have been in the 110s. Let's see. The prediction panel. Yes, that was episode 113. So that was right at the beginning of it. Right. So basically we had my kind of annual tech retreat, which was the tech retreat from your living room, which hopefully will never happen again. it will actually be a retreat going somewhere next time. And we were, and by the way, the first retreat we had back in episode 38, that's the only time you and I have done an episode where we were in the same room. Just
that's
as a fun
crazy
fact
to think about. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a feeling that in 2021, we'll have some episodes where we are actually in person together. I just have a call it a clairvoyant seer type situation. I don't know. I'm maybe not all of them, but I think we'll have some. It's just a guess. I don't know where I'm getting that from. So I don't even remember everything we predicted in that panel, or most of the things we predicted in that panel, but it's definitely going to be colored by the fact that we had just been, none of this was supposed to happen. We were supposed to go somewhere. We were planning on going to, I don't know, Rhode Island or something. And yeah. or Long Island. We were planning on going to the Hamptons or something like that. It just, this thing happened that has never happened before in our lifetime. And it was like, okay, I feel like when you make predictions under those circumstances, you're going to get some interesting stuff because we were just all in shock. So it'll be cool to come back to that. And we're actually going to come back to that. I guess it would be in the spring of 2021.
Yeah, and I'm just looking at the show notes here, and obviously two factors that were I think heavily influenced by what was going on around us then were telemedicine and urbanization.
Right.
The virtual reality topic seems a little that probably had a little bit more to do with some of some kind of business and technology reports that had come out around then, but. The last question I see there on our list is, how long will we be stuck in our homes? And I'm really curious to see when we go back at the next retreat and grade some of our predictions there.
It's kind of an open question, because stuck in our homes is kind of a
there's some wiggle room
because we did open up pretty quickly, but then we soon realized that the open up was not as open as we would have liked.
Right, and there are still people who are saying that, well, you can call it a lockdown, but technically it's there were so many exceptions to the lockdown that nobody was really locked down. So there's yeah. a lot of latitude in how you answer that question, which means that we did a poor job in clarifying the question in terms of what the payouts are going to be there.
Oh, come on. I mean, it's just
there's no money on the line. Just our reputations.
Yeah. Yeah. Just our reputations and honor. Okay. All down the drain. No, I think
pistols at dawn.
I think we're going to come out looking fine. That's my prediction. let's see what else happened this year. A lot happened on the AI front, and it's not just, we talk a lot about AI on the program, but things truly did move ahead on the artificial intelligence front this year while no one was looking, which is pretty cool. A lot of progress has been made in deepfakes. And then, of course, and that's been kind of a developing story since the beginning of the Local Maximum. And then it's like, okay, we have to talk about the ethics of that. Like, what if you can kind of impersonate someone online? We talked about a lot about language models, GPT-3 from OpenAI that's done very well, and Google's language models. We talked about some philosophical questions, like what's the difference between modeling a language statistically and understanding a language? Can you build a machine that understands a language? We went through that in episode 135. That was a fascinating discussion. I talked about the AI hype cycle with Christian Hubbs, who's really great on this stuff. Lisa Palmer, that was more recently. Some of the lesser known applications of AI, I guess you could say, so like the real-time data stuff. And then some of like the social and political implications, like online privacy with Naomi Brockwell. There was the Timnit Gebru story at Google, where an AI ethics researcher was fired or let go or resigned, and there's all these questions about that. And then, of course, Seth Stevens-Davidowitz on his book from a couple years ago on how, Google search data is kind of creepily telling too much about us. Or it's like you can kind of tell how many people are going to go berserk by how many searches you have in a given area. all that crazy stuff and all the creepy things that people search for.
Well, that kind of hints forward to a topic we're going to touch on shortly. But, with the polling is so bad because most of that is dependent on how people actually answer questions. And we again had an election where polling didn't necessarily live up to expectations. And
right.
It's because maybe we're lying to ourselves as much as we're lying to the pollsters. But big data knows the real answer.
Sometimes it does. Yeah. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it does. Yeah. Let's jump to it. Let's talk about the election coverage. I had Alex Andora again on to talk about polling. I went into some of the mathematics of polling and prediction markets, because we talk about the mathematical concept of a martingale. I'm not going to get into that right now, but go to our martingale episode if you want to learn. Actually, that's a good one for me to give the episode number. Martingale, episode 136. Very good vocab term if you're talking about prediction markets. And we talked about the election in general. We talked about electoral systems, the electoral college, social media censorship. New York City is experimenting with a new electoral system this year, the ranked choice voting. And it's only going to be done in the Democratic primary, which almost defeats the purpose. But that's what they're doing.
Yeah, and I think we got that here in Massachusetts as well. I'm curious to see when that actually kicks in for real the first time.
Yeah, it will this year or 2021 in New York City. So the election was pretty fun to do, and I'm very glad about how, like, we promised to drop it after the election, and we basically kept that promise, so I'm very happy about that.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly been more going on in that space, but not much that I feel that we have a lot to add on. So
yeah, I mean, hot button political and social topics we still get into, just not the election. Like the politicization of science and technology and work, that has been a theme, I think a big theme this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And something that's not new, but that definitely feels like it's been growing.
Yeah, yeah. There was that article that Lawrence Krauss wrote, I think it was in the Wall Street Journal, where we talked about how, you know, science is becoming very politicized. Obviously, the Tim Ngebru story at Google was extremely politicized. All the diversity initiatives and then people kind of fighting for control of the narrative. And it's like, can you really sit idly by as a bystander and not get hit? Not get hit as an innocent bystander with some of this stuff. It's something that I worry about at work, and I feel like it's something that could happen to anyone.
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit of a landmine of an issue.
Yeah. So, all right. Before we have a few other things to mention, but before we move forward, let me just jump on you with this. We'll put you on the spot with this question. Do you have a favorite episode from this year?
I don't know if it's my favorite, but it's definitely the one that's stuck in my mind the most, and that would be the episode we did talking about topology.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. I love that one.
Yeah, I think it was the visual of like turning a three-dimensional space inside out. I probably have something wrong about that, but that makes that episode stick right in my head.
Yeah. Well, did you listen to the follow-up interview I did with Ty Denae
I did, yes.
A few weeks ago? Yeah, well, I think we already went over it that you did. Yeah, and so that she had some really good follow-ups on that. But those people like her who go really deep into that topic, they must have some insane intuitions and images in their head about what's really going on.
Yeah, it's like the people who can visualize, six-dimensional space. Like, they're out there. I don't know what's wrong with their heads, but they're out there.
Yeah. No, I'm not sure that they necessarily have to do that, but they definitely look at the world differently. I also started out with a mathematical episode very beginning of the year to talk about induction, which is a good kind of logic, a good topic in logic, inductive logic, inductive reasoning. So that was episode 102. I've been surprised that a lot of people have asked for more math episodes. I sort of thought the math episodes were just for me. It's just stuff that I like. And since it's my show, I'm going to do it. But I was surprised to learn that people actually want more of it. And they're hey, if I understand 60% of it, I'm good with the episode. It was worth it for me.
Yeah, I would say those episodes probably aren't the type of things that I'm going to use that information in my daily life, but I definitely come away from thinking, well, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's look at some other themes that we had this year. Extraterrestrials. There's only one
maybe
episode.
They're out there?
Yeah, I know. There was only one episode where we talked about aliens, and that was that gas on Venus. What was that, the phosphate?
Yeah,
we were like, oh yeah, All right, so maybe there's aliens and Venus. But there have been other stories about aliens this year that have completely been buried in whatever else we're dealing with in 2020.
Yeah, the two big ones I can think of are that I guess the Pentagon released a bunch of reports that had been previously classified from the, I think it was a division under the Office of Naval Intelligence, which is, you know, the shorthand for it is the UFO group. But basically with recordings of these unidentified flying objects that have been observed and tracked by Navy and Air Force pilots. So
could those just be illusions?
I mean, they're not saying it's aliens.
Not saying it's aliens, but exactly kind of aliens.
They're not saying it's aliens, but they are saying that these are things that have actually been observed, and it's not, you know, crazy Uncle Joe out in the boonies. These are professional pilots who are extremely well trained and disciplined, and I'm sure that they went through a thorough medical examination and made them pee in a cup and make sure they weren't on any illicit substances the moment they landed. And so it's again, nothing about this implies that it's aliens, but there's something going on there that folks don't fully understand, which is a very interesting question to after all these years to have some confirmation that there's weirdness going on out there.
There was also that really strange article going around earlier this month that said this former Israeli space chief said that the governments of the world are in contact with aliens, and that Trump knows about it, but he isn't saying anything. And then you read the comments and they're like, this is not a credible story. Trump definitely would say something.
Yeah, I feel like that's the biggest hole in that hole.
So,
the one other thing that came to mind on the extraterrestrial front is the Arecibo radio receiver dish collapsed maybe a month ago.
What is that, first of all?
So it was a big radio telescope dish down in Puerto Rico. Obviously now that it collapsed, it isn't any longer, but it was many years ago. It was kind of the crown jewel of the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, organization listening for signals from outer space. And I believe it had a starring role, as a supporting actor in GoldenEye. Our generation have seen, and they now have a vivid picture in their mind of exactly what we're talking about. But that was that big telescope. Between everything else going on this year, some of the structural supports gave way and it collapsed.
Oh, so it wasn't that it was listening to aliens and it was like
they knew too much.
The message was too much and it collapsed. No, I tend to view these stories with a lot of skepticism. I think the gas on Venus is interesting because I do think. And this is just my impression of the science that I've read and have studied, and just based on all the reading that I've done, is that there is a kind of non-zero chance that a significant chance that the solar system and the galaxy is teeming with microbial life, which would be very exciting. We just don't know how common that is, and so that Venus story then becomes very interesting. In terms of aliens being here now, like smart extraterrestrials, I don't know. There's so much crazy stuff that could just happen just from what's on Earth that it seems like my priors on that don't really go up very much when these stories come out. But that's just me. I tend to remain skeptical until there's something more substantial than visual lights that are moving too fast or something like that.
I put it in the same mental box as the what if we're all living in a simulation?
Yeah.
We can have that discussion, but I'm not going to use it to direct any of my short, medium, or long-term actions.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if anyone out there wants to give me reason to take this stuff more seriously, then by all means, make your case. I'm happy to talk about it. But it's just not... I'd love to talk more about these stories on the show. I'm not really... I don't like to be a debunker, but I also don't like to, it's just, there's so much, It could be like some technology from some foreign country, or could just be like they're like the light is following us. It could be the reflection of your own vehicle. I mean, that's happened to me before.
I'm trying to think back, and maybe it's because of the type of guests that you choose to invite on the show or accept when they ask to come on the show. But yeah. I can't recall you having a guest who you've had a serious like on the show conflict with where you've disputed something they've said or gotten into an argument.
That's a good observation. And I could have argued with people, but I didn't. And I know it kind of makes a good show when you argue with people more, but it's also like, I respect the people's time that I have on the show and they're giving me their time and energy and to come on. And I don't want to be too hostile. I'll ask some questions, and sometimes if I get something that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, I'll ask a few follow-up questions. But I don't know. I don't want to have a debate or a fight. I used to listen to a lot of talk radio where, you know, they'd have guests on and yell at them, and that made a lot of people listen to it. I don't know if that's the direction I want to go, particularly with the podcast format. There's just too much. Some of these guests are really hard to get, and it's not worth bringing them on just to yell at them.
Yes, certainly not if that's they would have to be expecting that kind of an interaction for that to work in a sustainable way.
Right. Are there times when you think I should have done that?
I can't think of any. Like I said, it may have more to do with, you know, the types of topics and the types of guests that you've had on that you don't tend to bring on people who are significantly, you know, oppositional to
well. No, there were some guests that I know I have significant differences with on various issues.
Right, but that wasn't necessarily the topics that you were discussing with them.
Right. I kind of talk about different topics with them. Nah, that's absolutely true. I don't know what else to say about that other than, I don't know. Do you think people want more of a kind of a conflict there?
I think it would be really interesting if we got some conflicts on some of the nerdier content here. And I don't even know what form that would take, but, you know, I'd be very interested in hearing a knockout throwdown fight between some frequencists and some Bayesians on topics that they're passionate about. Not a mudslinging thing, but really, you know, I think we've tried to steel man arguments when we haven't necessarily subscribed to them logically, but sometimes having someone there who not only understands, but truly believes that side of it can make for some interesting discussion. I don't know if that's necessarily what our listeners are looking for, but just spitballing.
Some arguments or debates would actually be a lot of fun. The thing is, like, when you hold a debate, you should have a moderator. And so it's like, if I want to debate someone else, I should bring a moderator on. Or I should be the moderator between a debate between two people. And now all of a sudden you're dealing with three schedules instead of two. But I don't know. Bayesian versus frequentist would be a fun one. Go ahead.
What I guess I'm saying then is that we need to get you on the Soho Forum with someone to debate against.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was a fun one to watch with Anthony Samaroff. That was a lot of fun going to Soho Forum and watching him debate that topic. And it was a good-natured debate. Sometimes I go to the Soho Forum and they hate each other, which is always a lot of fun. But, I mean, that's another sad thing that we lost this year, 2020. Soho Forum, we didn't lose it permanently, but it certainly hasn't been going on to the extent there have been a few online debates, but, you know, it's not the same. And it would also be interesting to debate some of these hot button social issues. And I think I can debate them in a way where I don't put myself at too much risk of getting into trouble. I don't know, like the whole question of ethics in AI, or how much should an AI researcher use their position to promote social values. I feel like there is a good debate to be had in there, but it will devolve into mudslinging, which could be a lot of fun. I'm happy to do it, but I don't know how to like get that started. I don't know how to set that up. Like, who would we be willing to debate me, and what would be the debate? What's the it's the debate question is what it's called. It's like the proposition of the debate.
Yeah, that's it. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So I don't know what the proposition would be for that one and who I would debate, but I'm happy to debate someone on that. That would be fun. I've actually never participated in a formal debate in my life. So I could get my ass kicked the first time.
Did our high school have a debate team? I don't even recall.
I think it did, but
clearly
I wasn't
neither
involved.
Of us were on it.
No. You could have been on it. You probably would have been pretty good on there, but I guess it wasn't. I probably would have been interested in it if I knew about it, but I think I only heard about it through rumors. Like, it's one of those things that...
Very cloak and dagger.
Yeah, like, it might have been in I think it might have been called, like, political club, so I didn't really go, you know, like, or, like, student government club. So let's, like, stay far away from that, you know? Now you got me thinking. We should
something
we
to
should
keep in the back of our mind for 2021 goals is maybe some new formats episodes, new episode
okay.
formats,
a debate format. Yeah, that could be fun. Okay, other themes, all the craziness in New York City. Certainly, when the when all of the protests started, and then. You know, there was all the kind of vandalisms and riots in my neighborhood. And
interestingly enough, New York was not the like the source.
No.
I mean, there have been plenty of political movements and protests that kind of started off in New York. Probably the most famous one was it. What was the one that was We Are the 99%?
Occupy Wall Street.
Occupy Wall Street. Thank you. Yeah.
I was there. I wasn't part of Occupy Wall Street, but like, I definitely went down to Zuccotti Park and checked it out every once in a while when it was going on. Yeah.
But this kind of it seeded elsewhere across the country, but certainly New York was not without its
no and
sympathetic.
And I think,
action.
What was going on in New York was not just it was not just the George Floyd protests. I mean, it's also just there's a lot of other stuff going on at the same time. It's crime has been going up steadily. I remember at the beginning of the year, they kind of got rid of bail. And so crime was going to go up anyway. And then during the pandemic, it just got way worse. And, you know, people breaking into storefronts and basically, you know, neighborhoods that I had been living and working in for many years were kind of all boarded up, and it's very sad. And it kind of led to me kind of leaving New York when it was just like, I just feel like right now, this is not the New York of 9/11 and it's not the New York of Hurricane Sandy. We don't talk about Hurricane Sandy as like a great moment in New York, but looking back, it really was. Now it just feels so heavy living there. It's just, it just feels like a burden living there. And it doesn't feel like, oh, it's no longer we're all in this together. It's now, especially with the pandemic, it's no longer we're all in this together. It's like anyone who's near you is a potential disease vector. So we're definitely not in it with them. So it's like, it's partially that, partially the political climate and partially just the bad leadership. And it's, I don't think it'll be like that forever. New York City has been through a lot, but it doesn't feel like one of those times where it's like the people are going to rise up and bounce back immediately. And that's why I'm out for now.
Well, let's shift gears a little bit. You asked me about my favorite episode, but what's your favorite episode from this year?
So I already wrote that down. That is clearly another one that we did that we were recording past midnight. And that was... It was titled Biden Joins the Potiverse and Smart Toilets. So I think we spent part of the time. Did we spend part of the time slamming Joe Biden's podcast? Is that what we were doing?
I don't know if we were straight up slamming it, but I think we made some constructive
constructive
suggestions,
criticizing it,
which were pretty harsh.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he has a podcast anymore. He has this other job now. And, I wish he would still do a podcast,
I know at some point presidential weekly radio addresses were pretty par for the course. I'm pretty sure Obama did them and just nobody listened to them. But I'm guessing that's something that Trump has not been doing. And somebody must be shoving those into an RSS feed where you could listen to them podcast style.
Well, you could listen to his speeches, I'm sure.
We'll, we'll see what Biden's speechifying looks like come,
come January 100, 20th. Episode 135, Corn Pop. And then also in that episode, we talk about smart toilets. Let me pull up the show notes for that, because it was
my initial thought was, oh, that's a highbrow lowbrow episode, but I think
it was all lowbrow.
We may have been lowbrow across the board there. Yeah.
That's where we should go. Right. So it was like, what did somebody come up with the smart toilet? I'm just looking at our links here. I see anus scans. I don't know why we were getting into that, but that was.
I think that was a toilet that literally takes a picture. Well, it takes a picture of a portion of your anatomy to identify biometrically who the user of the toilet is, so that it can match all of its other sensory test results to the right profile.
It's more secure than a thumbprint, I guess. Just to her face, they're just like, why don't we just use it for phones? There are a lot of things come up in the lockdowns that, I don't know. So anyway, that was a long episode. We basically ragged on this stuff for, what, an hour and 16 minutes? Oh, my God. All right, so that I think is my favorite for the year. That's one that I'm like, yeah, definitely go back to that one. If I have a long drive coming up, I'm going to turn on episode 114 and see what we talked about. Let's see. So what else? Is there anything else
I think we haven't mentioned crypto yet, which has been kind of a recurring theme, not just this season, but certainly this season.
Sure. And there was a recent surge, and I told a lot of people there was going to be a surge in price at the end of this year, and I'm glad it came true. A lot of stuff happened in crypto this year. We talked to Naomi Brockwell about it. She's kind of an expert in crypto and Bitcoin. What was that one? Well, that was mostly about COVID, that one. But I think we also, we were talking about encryption laws and internet freedom, and basically, there have been a lot of laws proposed on Bitcoin specifically, and on one hand, it seems like governments are not trying to kill it, but they're trying to make it more difficult. But they're not really focused on it. It's a kind of a strange situation where people are like, is Biden going to kill? Yeah,
I was just gonna say at the beginning of the year, we were still in a world where the what was it, Libra, the Facebook coin, was still a thing that might happen.
It changed its name, and now it's going to be called something else. Libra, so Facebook coin.
There was a lot of concern about big business or government co-opting crypto.
Yeah. No, it really had. Now it's called DM. So Libra is now called DM, but I don't see it going. I mean, they still want to launch next year, but I don't see it. Now it's going to be kind of a stable coin. So there's no point in like investing in it. And what's interesting about Bitcoin is for years and years and years, I've heard people say, well, this is not useful until you could buy a cup of coffee with it. And the average person will use it. And yet the price goes up and up and up, and the average person is not using it. And I see no reason why a Facebook coin that is not good for an investment, because it's pegged to the dollar, it's pegged to be a stable amount, so you don't get interest on it. I don't see why that would be a compelling investment. Maybe it would help with like online payments in certain circumstances, like if you're paying someone in another country. But I don't know. I don't know if that would really help. It kind of remains to be seen. And it's not really a cryptocurrency.
If that's the use case, then we're not the target audience. And I don't know enough about the people that do use those make those kinds of transactions to make an assessment of whether this would actually be attractive.
Yeah. Yeah. So we talked at the beginning of the end of crypto winter. People were very down on Bitcoin and blockchain in 2019. We talked about the halvening when, Bitcoin continues to contract the money supply right on schedule. These halvening events are things that were kind of set in stone at the beginning, where the number of new supply that comes out that are issued every day is cut in half. But what's news about it is that A, it happened on schedule, and that there are effects to that. When you cut the supply of something, you see 6 months later, when the current supply runs out, you get a run on price. That is that was my theory, and that's what happened. And also, it's amazing how many people I've spoken to about Bitcoin who don't believe that the halvening is really baked in. Like, they think, oh, someone could change it, and they'll just create more Bitcoin. But I just, as this keeps going, it goes to show you just can't do that. Hard for people to wrap their hands around.
I think that's something that's technically feasible, but you would, as I understand it, you would have to get a unrealistic amount of the existing Bitcoin holders on board with it to basically rewrite the rules, right?
Well, you could have miners start mining with new software that's not compatible with the old software
that would just be a fork, new coins. Right?
Yeah, it would just be a fork. It would be like, Bitcoin 2. And what do you think the value of Bitcoin 2 would be in relation to Bitcoin? Much lower, because now, so who would actually join that?
Right.
We talked about this heist, this 16-year-old kid that stole millions of dollars of someone's Bitcoin. That's what makes me really stressed about, like, actually handling this stuff. One of the things that I've been really trying to think about, because a lot of people in the Bitcoin and crypto community use this phrase, not your keys, not your coin. Have you ever heard about that? Have you ever heard that phrase?
Mostly from you, but yeah, I've heard it mentioned in a couple other places as well.
Right. It's like, okay, you should hold it yourself. Unfortunately, and we've talked about this before in the show, holding it yourself, your security is not going to be as good as somebody, as a real expert holding it for you. And so at some point, maybe you do need to trust someone. And so it's sort of like, is it best maybe to have a hybrid solution where you have the equivalent of some cash under your mattress, but also like some with a reputable organization? I don't know. If you're not trying to hide it,
it's the same kind of arguments you get with any sort of internet security. It's, do I set up my own cloud and there's plenty of open source, freely available or cheaply available software to allow you to do that? Or do I trust that Google or Amazon or Microsoft, because they've got entire teams of security engineers working on it, are able to provide a superior product that is worth whatever the downsides of going through this third party might be?
Yeah, there are always purists, though, who are saying you can't have pure freedom unless you control them yourself. And I'm trying to reconcile those two ideas. I'm honestly having a hard time doing it.
Yeah, the closest thing I can think of to an analogy would be kind of like in the prepper community, there's a lot of emphasis on precious metals, so gold and silver coins, because if let's forget exactly how we get there, but in a world where civilization has collapsed, then you've got some medium for exchange. But that doesn't really translate that well to crypto, I feel like, because in that kind of post-apocalyptic world where your old silver coins might be useful, your Bitcoin is going to be pretty equally equal levels of utility whether you had your own keys or whether you were going through some sort of
It depends on what kind of collapse it is. Like,
yeah.
Bitcoin can actually survive the internet going down. If you have there, you could have like a very rudimentary communications network that can keep it going. But yeah, I don't know. It first of all, if there's a collapse of that magnitude, you have probably more things to worry about. I don't know. It's. And again, how valuable is silver really going to be? It's basically, in that case, it's can you grow your own food and know what to eat?
Yeah, there's a lot of skills that are going to be more valuable than any physical objects.
Machine learning engineer, not doing too well. I can tell you that much.
I mean, unless this is one of those robot apocalypses, if you can program the robots.
Yeah, get them into an infinite loop or something, have them divide by zero.
Man, now I want to go back and watch the Terminator movies again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back when they were good movies.
Unfortunately, I could. Yeah. what would I do? I would give it biased training data, and they'd go over there. I don't know. What are you talking about? Okay. So let's see. So lots of stuff this year. Next year is going to be even more exciting on the Local Maximum, and I'm not just saying that because, like, man, it's going to be more exciting, but I do think we have an opportunity to grow in 2021 in a way that we didn't in 2020, just because of the unique circumstances surrounding 2020. So let's talk about what we hope to do next year on the Local Maximum. First of all, grow the size of the locals community at maximum.locals.com. I think I like this model of, first of all, I'm very grateful for people helping us out. Like, it was so amazing that people I don't know are going and paying $4 a month, and then you have access to all of my posts on maximum.locals.com, and you could join in the conversation, which is great. But also, it doesn't cost that much, and it's really helping out, going directly into, like, keeping this content up, keeping it available, and helping us spend more time on it. So I am grateful for that, and I think in 2021 we'll get to our 100. Our numbers of 100 people, 100 members and 100 people supporting it, which I think should be fairly easy to attain.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to, you know, we've already had some discussion going on there and growing that to be a more interactive community.
Yes. I also think I'm going to add... So I've only been doing it for like 4 months or so, 4 or 5 months, adding questions to the website. Those are articles that I still definitely have time to do. And because they're so good for SEO and they're such useful articles and they're helpful for my research, I'm going to continue to do those. So that will be great. Now, I've been thinking about what my guest, what my guest strategy should be for 2021. So you might have noticed for the last 6 months, I've had fewer guests, and that's okay. You know, focusing on this stuff, but I want to get more guests. And the question I always ask is, do I want to have, what am I optimizing for? Do I want to have guests that are really going to grow the show if they tweet it out or send it out? Do I want to have guests who, maybe have other shows that like maybe can get on their show? I've done that as well, but I really want to focus next year. I've decided on the people that I would really, really like to talk to. And usually they're bigger name people, but like just people I would like to talk to. And I'm just going to write a list and I'm going to send out a bunch of messages at the beginning of the year because people aren't paying attention right now, and see who I can get. Because I think that would just be the best experience for the listeners. It would be the best experience for me, the host, frankly. And I think it also could in a way lead to more opportunities for growth, just because there'll be better shows and they'll still be big guests, but if it's a better conversation, they're more likely to share it, etc.
That's a very, you know, build it and they will come approach here, that create the quality content and all else will follow.
Yeah. So what hopes do you have for 2021 for the Local Maximum?
Oh boy. I'm looking forward to the next tech retreat. Fingers crossed on what that's going to look like.
Where should we hold it? Maybe we should go back to Rhode Island again.
Yeah, that could be. I don't know. That could be an interesting change of scene. But so much is going to depend on, because that'll be this coming spring, right?
Like, if there is a Rhode Island, if there still is a Rhode Island. I hope so. Yeah, you're right.
I'm always interested in the guests that you get on, because invariably there's interesting discussion going on there. I guess the biggest thing that the show brings to me is it forces me to kind of think outside my comfort zone on stuff, you know, a couple times a month, have conversations that I'm not necessarily having. That there's some things we talk about that would normally be, you know, around the water cooler discussion, but we always take it a level further than that. So it's a chance for me to kind of grow my own mental boundaries, if nothing else there. And hopefully folks are getting something out of it as well.
Yeah, especially during this time when we're not really in the office as much. You're not having as many office discussions. And then I found that, like, even the last few years, office discussions have, it's, you go to the lunch table and they're talking about politics and you're like, all right, I'll leave. But it's like, people don't talk about cool stuff anymore.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that's one thing I did not miss, not being in the office for the last 9 months or whatever, is going down to the cafeteria and seeing Fox and CNN and MSNBC on, like, the three big screens down in the cafeteria.
Really?
At least one of them always had sports on. Not that
they
I
torture
care
you
about
like
it, but...
They torture you like that, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
Building management likes their political
I do
news.
Miss The Office. Let me tell you something that I did the other day. It was our last day in the office, and we had a little fun budget for our team that it was like use it or lose it by the end of the year, but there's really nothing you could do. So I got a zip car and I drove to Peter Luger's and I got steaks and I drove them back to the office for everyone. Not just steaks, but also the cream spinach and the bacon and the potatoes and the tomatoes and all that stuff.
Nice. Old style steakhouse.
Yeah. So that was a fun way to end the year. Oh, another thing that happened this year that's not really local maximum, but it's, you know, Marsbot for AirPods, which we launched at Foursquare. And, you know, something exciting, I actually got Rob Bernstein, who is the comedian who I've had on this show a few times, to make some content about it. So basically, if you go down near the Comedy Cellar in New York City, it's like near McDougal Street, there's a bunch of like bars and stuff around there. You basically walk around there if you have Marsbot Audio and he comments on all the stuff that's going on. So that version of that update to the app is going to go out early next year. And I'm really excited about that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I basically told him, just make content for me. Don't get me fired. And there are only one or two things that I had to remove. But
I was gonna say, you got to be careful. He might see that as a challenge.
Yeah. No, I know. But... no, he did a good job. There were even a few that he said, this is iffy, and I decided to keep it in. The thing is, like, okay, I was not personally offended by anything that he performed, but there is some stuff that he does in his comedy where I'm like, no, that's wrong. I can't, not that I wouldn't go, but, you know, it's like, but no, it's just like some of the stuff, you know, he was worried about giving places negative reviews, but sometimes I'm okay with that. It's more like, I don't know. It was pretty much.
I struggle with that, and I know we've talked about this before about how like the thumbs up and thumbs down versus the 10-point rating scale, and what is a maybe really mean, but I have so much trouble giving a negative review for like I got food delivered by an unnamed. Food delivery and passenger driving service this past week.
Yeah.
And the driver did not follow the instructions I put in the order, but I couldn't bring myself to give him a thumbs down because that just felt too harsh.
Yeah. No. It was like, so I was actually trying his content the other day because so I went by myself down to McDougal Street from Flatiron where I was and walked around and I was cracking up. I walked by Insomnia Cookies and he was like, this cookie has no structural integrity. I was like, this is great stuff. This is good stuff. So I'm really excited about it. And I hope we get more people who are interested in creating that kind of content.
Well, I will give a couple of last minute ratings here that I'm not afraid to give. 2020 is a year, thumbs down.
Oh yeah.
2020 for the local maximum, thumbs up. And 2021 is definitely going to be a thumbs up.
That's my
statement. I'm sticking to it.
2021 is going to be a great year. Now, to be fair, I said that about 2020 last year. So my track record on that is not so great. But
we had a couple good months there. We can work that ambiguous phrasing of the question magic in there, too.
I feel like we're both so optimistic right now. I don't know what happened. It's like, well, I mean, I don't want to jinx it, but I felt like last time we spoke, we're like, yeah, 2020 still got some time to to mess with us one more time. I think now we actually feel like we're out of the woods, which could be scary because we might not be, but I feel like we are.
I think the combination of practically being 1 a.m. and this being, not after a long week of work has put us in a much more susceptible to optimism mood.
All right.
So let's take that and run with it.
All right. Let's take that and run with it. I guess I will. This is the last episode of the year, so we'll come back next year on the Local Maximum. Everybody have a great new year. And I usually say have a great week, everyone, but have a great new year, everyone, and see you in 2021.
2021, everybody.
That's the show. To support the Local Maximum, sign up for exclusive content and our online community at maximum.locals.com. The Local Maximum is available wherever podcasts are found. If you want to keep up, remember to subscribe on your podcast app. Also, check out the website with show notes and additional materials at localmaxradio.com. If you want to contact me, the host, send an email to localmaxradio@gmail.com. Have a great week.
Feel the power.